I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The founder and father of the modern tinkering movement is going to be joining us momentarily. He thinks that we are terribly overprotective of our children, and I must say I put myself in that category. I looked at a picture of my son when I was teaching him how to roller skate. He had knee pads and elbow pads, and he said, "Mom, you overdid it." And I said, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I did. I guess I overdid it." At any rate, our guest believes that very young children should be able to play with fire, own a pocket knife, drive a car, and the list goes on. He'll be with us in a moment to talk about 50 dangerous things that you should let your kid do. But first, before we get to him, we have some other business to tend to. As you may know, Wisconsin legislators are busy planning the state budget for the next 2 years, and there's a debate about the level of funding for Wisconsin public broadcasting. The budget would result in a $3 million annual cut in state support for public broadcasting, and that funding has really been essential to delivering programs throughout the state.
Yes, and Wisconsin public broadcasting is working hard to address this challenge as the budget process moves forward. And listener support continues to be a vital part of the WPR budget. So your donation right now is more important than ever. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. So before we get to tinkering around, we are going to ask for your support. You know, you count on WPR's Ideas Network for all of this, these great discussions, and we count on you to help these great discussions stay on the air. So please give. WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is the number to call.
That's right. And we count on you, and we count on the 16 people who
Thank you,
pledged
everybody.
Last hour. Thank
great.
You so much for those pledges. Our goal this hour is 10 pledges, so help us meet the goal by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and the programs that you enjoy will be here every day at WPR, thanks to your support.
It really is hard to find meaning in a lot that's around us. It's why you listen, because we're trying to find meaning every single day, and we really do sink our teeth into very important topics.
It's true, whether we do long interviews with Wisconsin veterans or historical topics, national political issues that are happening today, those are the things that you're going to find right here. So that's the kind of substance that's only possible really with your support. And your donation, your contribution right now at WPR.org will make that possible. You can also call 888-202-2552.
And you decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters. Every pledge helps pay for the programs that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. During the drive, you can also ask for this really lovely 2015 WPR Artist Mug when you give $150 or more.
Yeah, this is the fourth mug in our annual Artist Mug series, and it's designed by Nick Robleski, who's not only an award-winning woodcart artist from the Driftless region, but he's also a listener to your show, we found out yesterday.
He's doing a children's book. He announced on our Facebook page a little early, he said, but a children's book.
That's right.
Year.
So the artwork is really beautiful. It has a very peaceful scene of two swans gliding through a starry night, and you can ask for that mug with your gift of just $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Phone calls, emails, that deadline. And I have that meeting in half an hour. I'll listen to WPR for a few minutes. And that'll be a nice break.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Pledge drive? You've got to be kidding me. They have lots of business donors. I don't know why they call on the air to bother us for our measly dollars. What's the point?
The point, Aaron, is what you call measly donations add up to the single biggest piece of our budget.
No way.
No way what? That the radio's talking to you, or that your donation is a crucial part of our funding?
Both, I guess. But since you've got my attention, tell me more about the support from businesses. I hear them all the time. Doesn't that cover your costs?
We do have hundreds of business sponsors, and we're grateful to them. But back to listener support. Like I said, the single biggest piece of our budget comes from donors like you.
So you're saying I should give?
Do you value WPR programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen every day.
Well, then, Aaron, it's time to give.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. We are asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. Your gift might be $10, $20 a month, $60 a year would be a good starting point. Whatever. Just call and tell us you'd like to pledge.
Just pledge, right?
Right.
You probably have a story about how maybe you become a WPR listener the first time, and maybe you discovered it by accident. Maybe you were just flipping the dial, and then you never changed the station, right?
Right. Well, now's the time, then, to create the story about how you first became a WPR donor.
Ta-da.
It might start out like, I was listening to WPR as usual today when I realized that it was time to donate. So finish the story with your first ever donation of, say, $5 a month. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I felt like such an adult when I made my first pledge of
$5. Did you?
It was only $5, but hey, it's what I had and what I could afford. And I felt...
It makes you feel good, doesn't it?
It really did. WPR is really a powerful resource that really we've all created, all of us, listeners and people inside as well. The program on this station, all of the programs have an impact all over the state and really much further as well.
When you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you are truly participating in something amazing. So give now. Be part of what makes WPR such a valuable service.
And it's so easy.
Yeah,
it's so easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Make a one-time gift, or better yet, you can start those automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose, and then you do it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Seize the day.
Yeah.
Caveat emptor? No, I'm not sure. Is that it? No. Seize the day. Please make a pledge right now while you're thinking about it, while we've given you this minute here before the show gets started to go to the phones. It just takes a few minutes to contribute.
You can join, renew, or make an extra gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Again, our goal this hour is 10 pledges, and your pledge right now in the spring membership drive really is very important to us.
And this is the last chance we can ask for your support for our show, actually.
That's true.
This hour.
This is it
for us. It's all she wrote. This pledge drive, you can ask for the 4th annual WPR Artist Mug. It's lovely. It's designed by Wisconsin artist Nick Robleski. The design is beautiful, couple swans, and it's USA made. It's yours for a pledge of $12.50 a month. It's $150 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And while you're at it, if you're not already a sustainer, you can become one as well. It's really easy to set up. Provide a convenient, ongoing, monthly donation from your bank account or your credit card or your debit card, and you can do that at WPR.org or, again, the phone number, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, everybody. Jean from Green Bay says, WPR is my source for clear and broad-based news. WPR is deserving of my support. We thank you.
I think it is deserving of your support. And I think if you agree with that, then pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right. And now KP's going to go back and take apart his computer because he's part of the growing tinkering movement, right, KP? Which is what we're talking about this hour of the program. Gaver Tully is with us. He is the father of the modern tinkering movement, founded the Tinkering School a few years ago as a way to explore ideas about how to help internet-era kids develop general competence. He's also started Brightworks, a private school, and the Institute for Applied Tinkering. He's the author of 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Kid Do. He says that he is good at writing, cooking, calming down babies, juggling, graphic design, being invisible, and sculpture. And he's done several TED Talks. I would urge you to go to see those because you'll be able to see the creations that some pretty young children have been able to make. And we thank you, Gaver Tully, so much for being with us. Hi.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. And I wish that, my son is now grown, but I got to tell you, I read all about your school and I thought, oh my gosh, I wish that I could have done this with my child because I think I was one of those. And there are many of us slightly overprotective mamas.
Well, you won't be surprised to hear that almost every adult who visits our school says the same thing.
Yeah.
They wish they'd gone to this school. And I think in a large portion, I made the school I wished I had gone to.
Mm-hmm. And yet, yeah. It sounded like, from what I've read about your upbringing, that your parents let you out the back door and you wandered around in the forest and walked over to the beach and you had some freedom, huh?
Yeah. No, I lived a free-range life as a child with parents who were very comfortable making me responsible for my own well-being. I mean, they made sure I was fed and clothed, and they were very loving. I have a very happy childhood. But it was that confidence, I think, that I built from them letting me walk down a cliff path to the beach on my own that was near the house. That was just part of our backyard. And I think that set me on a life where I maybe saw children as able to be competent and responsible in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You gave a TED Talk fairly recently, and you talked about all of the child safety warnings, and you gave pictures of some of them. Suffocation warnings are on everything, aren't they?
They are. They are. And, it doesn't take many. It's possible that one child suffocated in a horrible way, and that is a tragedy. But the idea that suddenly we should turn that tragedy into a national awareness program for something that turns out not actually to be a problem. And yes, there are millions of children in the world, and statistically, somebody is having a problem right now. We forget, we lose focus because we hear about that one child, that there are those 99.99% other children who are having exciting, happy, adventurous lives at this moment.
And you've shown pictures during that TED Talk of children, Inuit children and others throughout the world, who are even using knives at very early ages.
Yeah, with the first peoples, the Inuit up there in northern Canada, they teach knife skills in toddlerhood.
Goodness.
Because, well, they used to. Because the kids, part of their diet was this very tough seal blubber, and they need to be able to cut it into their own bite-sized chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just give the kids a knife. And that was one of those anthropological things that led me to start thinking, like, maybe this is true for a lot of things about kids. I mean, where can we look in the world and see, like, 12-year-olds driving cars? Well, Wisconsin on farms. and suddenly we might start to see kids as young, competent people who just don't have as much experience as adults. But that view might allow us to let them engage with the world in a more realistic and meaningful way.
Mm.
Yeah.
You said that, and all of a sudden I had this image of my father sitting on my father's lap and driving his car. He loved his cars in a big area somewhere up in northern Wisconsin. And I was just a kid, but I remember that vividly to this day. And you talk about the fact that we like to get latched on to big things when we're young. It gives us more of a handle on big things in the world, right?
That's right. I mean, child development specialists talk about the dinosaur age in children where their imagination suddenly includes these real prehistoric creatures that were really larger than life. And part of the reason the kids connect with that is because of the size of those objects. The size of those creatures is just mesmerizing. And the car is kind of the same way. I mean, you could think of it as the dinosaur we can get into.
Mm-hmm.
And, parents drive their kids around in the back of the car all the time in baby seats and everything. But it's quite a different thing to have your hands on the steering wheel. And for a lot of kids, and I get mail from parents, this is a kind of transformative moment with parents and kids together of cooperating this big car and just sharing this moment of delight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have children, and you know, some people will be astonished when they hear about this, but you have children who seem very young, who are using power tools, who are using nails and hammers. You have 7-year-olds, and I saw pictures of this with the 7-year-olds who build roller coasters.
Yeah. So we have this idea that if we build big, they won't forget. And if you want to build big, then those kids really have to contribute. And if they're going to contribute, they have to be able to use the tools. And that's a really good motivator for young children is we're going to build a roller coaster and it's going to take us 4 days. When they understand that, they'll put in, you know, even a 7-year-old will put in 8 to 10 hours a day building a roller coaster. And when that comes together, all of that hard work is suddenly worth it. You know, that's for some of the kids we get at tinkering school at our camp, they remember that as the first time in their lives where they saw their hard effort pay off.
Mm. And they do it, am I right, Gaver, without instructions?
That's right. We don't use recipes. The kids have to figure out and design it themselves. And we try to collect the right materials, but often halfway through the project, we figure out that these materials are really inadequate or we wish we'd chosen differently, but we're already invested. We got to make it work with what we have. And I love that philosophy that there's a good solution to this problem with what you have. You just have to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids really get into it. They embrace it every year.
Now, you're teaching them, I would assume, and I'm wondering if parents are nervous about this, to use orbital sanders, to use hammers and skill saws. Those are fairly sophisticated for children, aren't they?
Well, they are. I'm happy to say we have a zero injury rate with tools at
That's great.
School after 10 years and thousands of kids going through it. There is a way to talk to children about responsibility and to demonstrate that you're giving them their trust. And partly, and this is going to sound crazy to you, so
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, okay. One of the ways that we do it most reliably is to introduce the child to a tool. Say it's the hand drill, the cordless drills that we use for driving screws and drilling holes.
Mm-hmm.
We show them how to use it. We talk them through. We get them to demonstrate a few times. And then we turn our backs on them.
Oh!
And it's that simple act sometimes where the child looks up and sees us turn our backs and just leave them with the problem and the tool. And that's sometimes the most genuine show of, I trust you. I trust you. I'm going to walk away from this situation where you're working on this problem because I trust you to work on this and that you'll come find me if you get to a new kind of problem and you're not sure how to proceed.
Hmm. So what has led us to be so untrusting? When you said that, I think, well, most parents would not do that. We would hover over our child if we would let them even use the tool. Why are we so far from that?
Well, I think culturally, our expectations about children have changed over the last 20 years. So there's definitely evidence of that. There's a trend, kind of parents feeling like they're irresponsible if their child got bruised or scraped or something like that. So we've taken one of the greatest learning mechanisms out of childhood, which is learning from your mistakes, and we've put all of that responsibility into the parent. And then we've built a kind of news organization feeding cycle that focuses on children focuses on children at risk and makes a very big deal out of it. Sometimes it is. You know, that child stuck in a well is an important story.
Mm-hmm.
But do we need to do we need to hear about that four states away? Do we need to hear about that in another country?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite examples of this is the kid who was momentarily referred to as Balloon Boy. There was a big Mylar balloon floating across in Colorado. Do you remember
that
story?
I remember that story, yes.
Yeah. So my wife is a pilot, and she watched that story break over breakfast. We were looking at it, and she knew in 15 seconds that there was no boy in that balloon.
Oh.
And yet we saw the news people looking out to experts who would introduce controversy into the conversation instead of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
They could have called any licensed pilot, and the pilot would tell them there's no boy in that balloon. And it was visible in the video. And as soon as she explained it to me, I understood clearly. And I thought, why aren't we hearing that confident expert voice that's so accessible? They must be deliberately seeking the expert who's creating speculation to feed the story.
Hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls, and I would imagine we'll have more than a few of them. Gaver Tully is our guest. He's the father of the modern tinkering movement. And he founded it as a way to explore ideas about how to help young people who are so tied to the internet, to their computers, a way to explore ideas about general competence. He thinks that we need to start embracing the idea of student as voracious, self-directed learner. And he has a book. He actually will get him to make sure to talk about five dangerous things that your children need to do. One is play with fire. Own a pocket knife. We've already talked about driving a car. There are others. I know some of you are going to hear this and say, what? I can't believe that. Or others will say, well, this is making a lot of sense. Feel free to join our conversation. The number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And we would be delighted to have you join our conversation. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dangerous things you should let your children do. We'll take your phone calls momentarily, but we have a busy hour. As you know, we're also in our spring membership drive, and it's your support that keeps these conversations on the air. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for all of these great programs. KP Whaley is with me in our studios in Milwaukee. We're encouraging you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on.
That's right. Right now.
Because
we are looking for 10 pledges this hour. So please go to the phones, make your gift of support to the station that you love.
And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, as I'm listening to this, it reminds me, listening to WPR is like a tuition-free lifelong education.
Sure is.
And all you really need is a radio or a computer or a mobile device. And you can listen in.
You know, and you get to conversations like the one we're having this hour. I've never thought of some of these things. But it's a whole new area for me, and it's opening my mind. You know, it makes us more tolerant, or we weigh whether or not we might do this with our children. You know, every day it's something new. It's lifelong learning. You're right, KP, and it's a darn good thing.
And it's easy to help support that.
Absolutely.
Simply by going to WPR.org or calling in at 888-202-2552.
And during this membership drive, you can get the fourth annual WPR Artist Mug when you give $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more. You will know that you're supporting all these great programs, and you'll also get this beautiful mug.
Yeah, it's USA made and features a design by award-winning Wisconsin artist and Kathleen Dunn listener, Nick Robleski. It's a woodcut print with two elegant swans soaring through this beautiful starry night. It's really very beautiful, and you can get it now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People who listen to us, that's you, provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation comes with no strings attached, so we can invest it in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Yeah, and your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and also for the entire community. So So give now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
It's a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions.
I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member, too.
And it's easy to do. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn. KP Whaley is with me, and we are asking for your gift, $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose.
Yeah, it's like that one listener who said, I kind of feel like I'm stealing if I'm not giving, right?
You can
listen to WPR on the radio. You can listen to it in your car. You're listening to it at home. You're listening to it at work. I mean, it's all these places that you're listening to it, and if you haven't given, then...
Now's the time.
Yeah, it really is. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to fit it into your budget. Becoming a sustainer is the answer. You decide on this monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
It's a really powerful way of donating, too, because it provides reliable funding for WPR, and it's also convenient and affordable for you. So choose a monthly amount of, say, $10 or $20 and become a sustainer right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can find out if your employer will match your donation.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Definitely.
Pledge now. Ask your human resources department the next time that you get a chance.
And even retired employees, I think, can sometimes qualify for those employer matches. So pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and then go find out if your pledge can be doubled.
We need about 5 more pledges, KP,
in the next
20 minutes or so. So now's the time to pledge. We want to get to phone calls on this interesting conversation about letting your younger child I can't believe I'm saying this. Drive a car, of course, or use
a power
saw.
Grill,
I know. I never would have thought of that.
Open a pocket knife.
Or a pocket knife.
Why not?
Oh, I could tell you so many stories about how I haven't been that way, and I'm sorry, my son. I'm sorry. This is a really interesting conversation, and we're going to be with you in a moment. Your gift, it helps. It always helps. And remember that you can show your support and get the artist mug, this USA-made mug. It's really lovely. It's designed by Wisconsin artist Nick Robleski, and it's yours for a pledge of $12.50 a month. $150, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and if you're a sustainer, thank you for that, first of all. But also, you might think about increasing your support of WPR by, say, just $5 a month or whatever amount you can choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Mr. KP. Have you been doing tinkering at the desk?
I've been doing all kinds of tinkering.
You took the computer apart? Oh, with a paper clip. No risk in that. Take the computer apart. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't. But, you know, that's one of the other things that Gaver Tully talks about, taking things apart. He's the father of the modern tinkering movement, and we're going to go to phone calls right now. He is the recipient of the Paul Allen Distinguished Educators Award and known for his book, 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Kid Do. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we go to Molly in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Molly.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I just love your show, and I wanted to share with you that, I support the author 100%.
Yay!
We've always been in northern Wisconsin and, you know, had the ability to be kind of away from the big metropolitan areas, and we were always kind of a fishy family, always fishy. And my daughter, for her 8th birthday, I bought her one of those Cutco Sportsman knives,
mm-hmm.
and that girl could fillet fish like nobody's business. She was teaching adults how to fillet fish.
My goodness. And you weren't worried that she might hurt herself, Molly?
Well, you teach the children respect for things, just like they would respect a toy or respect a fork or a dinner knife.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're brought up with this confidence, they're going to perform for you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And again, the same child, I had her driving at 12 years old in case we were up north and something happened to somebody, and she was the only one responsible for getting us to, you know, a doctor or a civilization or what. And, you know, she has
she
never let me down.
Yeah. She's never let you down. Oh, what a nice thing to say. Gave her.
You know, the colleges around the United States often talk about the freshman year stitches in their health services department, which is when kids leave high school never having had to cook for themselves and find themselves in an apartment in a small college, they're making their first meals for themselves, and they end up cutting, you know, it's their first time really cutting food on a regular basis.
Oh.
And they end up going to the college health services to get a few stitches. And I think your caller's daughter is not going to be one of those kids.
Mm-hmm. So how do you teach? How do you teach using a knife? Is this a long process? Do students catch on to this very easily, Gaver?
Well, I think it won't surprise you that kids catch on to it very quickly once they understand how sharp the knife is. And it's important to give children sharp knives. The dull ones are actually more likely to hurt them if the knife is actually going to be able to work as a knife. I mean, you can't carve wood with a butter knife. You have to actually give them a blade that can do it. And if you're going to let them whittle, for example, they need something that's sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And demonstrating how sharp it is real, authentic, sort of visceral learning for them. And if you cut a tomato open or something that's going to cut very visibly, the kids will hold on to that idea. And if you explain to them, this tomato is not even as tough as your skin, you're going to, if you're not careful with this, you're going to cut yourself. It's going to hurt a lot. And I'm going to be right here to help you feel better and to get the knife back into your hand so you can use it after we bandage your finger that you cut.
Mm-hmm.
So please be careful. And so far, the kids embrace that. And occasionally we do get a little nick and we have to put a Band-Aid on it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never had a kid say they're never going to use a knife again.
Hmm. And what do you think of Molly's description of her daughter teaching her how to drive because they were out in a remote place and in case they needed to get to, you know, emergency place that 12-year-old should be able to drive? Is that outrageous?
I don't think so. I think especially in a remote location like that, every member of the family needs some capacity. And I don't think you could expect that from a 5-year-old, but I think a 12-year-old, you know, we've seen time and time again 12-year-olds operating major farm equipment around the United States, being able to drive a car out of the wilderness or a remote location, if that's where your house is a perfectly reasonable thing to expect a 12-year-old to do.
Hmm. Thanks, Molly, very much for your call. We go to Pam in Fitchburg. Hello, Pam.
Hi. There's a lot of brain research out right now saying that the brains of teens are undeveloped, and it reinforces the idea that they're not good at making decisions because their brains are still developing. I believe their brains are still developing because we're not developing them as children.
I agree with you, Molly.
So in order to have them reach their full potential, we need to allow them to do what, Gaver?
Well, I think children need a diverse array of experiences. If all they learn in school is how to sit in a book and follow along in a lesson out of a textbook, and follow along in a textbook, then we're denying them all of the other skills that you need to learn as a child, including navigating the world and learning how to talk to adults and all of those complex and nuanced skills that children are certainly capable of, and we seem to have reduced all of their opportunities to engage with the real world into these sort of artificial ones that we promote in school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The idea of taking something apart. I've always wanted to do that, actually. Why do you think that's a good thing to do, to deconstruct things?
I think that children often see the microwave oven and the dishwasher and these like complex appliances in our households as magic boxes. And whenever we have kids take something apart, they can't identify everything that's in there, but they can see that it's just made of smaller and smaller parts. And they like learning the names of dinosaurs. It's very easy for kids to learn names of things that are real in life. And we see them really embracing that way of learning. Take something apart, figure out or ask an expert, what are the names of these things and what do? And they seem to retain it for very long periods of time. Just like the kid who still remembers how to tell the difference between a Diplodocus and a Brontosaurus.
Tell me about what you see the children progressing when it comes to taking responsibility for themselves, putting things away, being careful with the equipment they're using, and moving in that regard, moving along, becoming more responsible human beings.
Yeah. Well, I think we mix together a lot of different things when we say responsible. And putting things away is actually a kind of complex developmental skill. But being like, self-preservation is built into children, and when we constantly protect them, they lose it. They lose that self-protective thing because they start to rely on the adults around them. Whereas if you allow them to bump into things and get that bump or bruise or scrape or, cut their finger with that sharp knife, then they start to approach the world as something they can learn from. And we often mistake that as a responsible child, or the word we use for that is a responsible child, and what we see is actually a set of behaviors that are, they're curious, they're a little bit courageous, and they're experimental in their approach. They're not assuming that an adult is going to swoop in and keep them from jumping off the roof, right? We shouldn't have to tell a child not to jump off the roof. They know not to jump off the roof.
and you say that's one of the things they should be able to do, right, is be on the roof.
Is to be on the roof, yeah. And the reason I put that in the book is that it gives children and parents an opportunity to discuss what those risks are and parents to share some of their fears in a way that's open with the child. A lot of the topics in the book are actually there to trigger kind of dinner time conversations with kids. And I get a lot of email and little video clips from parents where they have shared with me, you know, they've made a plan for a Saturday morning activity from the book, and the Friday night dinner conversation is all about talking through what their concerns are and what they're hoping for and what safety materials they should get in place. And suddenly, instead of saying, oh, no one should squash pennies on a railroad track, we're talking about how do you safely squash a penny on a railroad track? And at first blush, it doesn't seem like a life skill, but it turns out the kids are really good at applying that methodology to other situations, of approaching that situation going, how can I do this safely? Maybe the answer is there's no safe way to juggle chainsaws. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the answer is, I should practice a lot with other things before I try to juggle the chainsaw. You know, that should be something that the child has innately or internally calibrated, not that they're constantly relying on outside people telling them no to define the limits of their world.
We're welcoming phone calls for Gaver. Our number is 800-486-8655. He is the father of the modern tinkering movement. He founded the Tinkering School as a way to explore ideas. Children who are hothouse flowers, who are around their computers all day, being able to do some dangerous things may make you much more responsible. He's the author of 50 Dangerous Things That You Should Let Your Kid Do. The Tinkering School is a week-long camp that helps young children build things that they think of. And it's something that is kind of a revolutionary idea in a society that's making sure that we protect children from everything, suffocation, sharp objects, et cetera, recalls of lots and lots of things. Have we gone overboard in that regard and sacrificing curiosity, discovery on the part of our children? What do you think about 12-year-olds driving cars? What do you think about using power tools and knives, standing on top of a roof? We welcome your phone calls, and let's go to Stephen in Woodstock, our next caller. Hi, Stephen.
Hi there.
Hi.
One thing I want to add, too, about I volunteer at a Challenger Learning Center. I'm sitting in the parking lot here where we have fifth and sixth graders actually running simulated space missions. It's quite astounding. But my point is that by letting people do things at a young age doesn't mean you're just training to do that one thing. You give them a knife. They're not just learning how to use a knife, but they're learning how to carve and do other things. And that gives them a tool to learn new things in the future that they may have never done before, but are maybe similar. So it broadens that base of experience. With my 3-year-old grandson, I am utterly astounded at what he can learn and observe. And so giving students, you know, too much guidance is really giving them the short shrift. They can absorb so much all the way up into adulthood. It's just amazing.
Gaver.
I couldn't agree more, and I love the idea that you're sitting in the parking lot of a space center. I'm using our tool shop because it's lunchtime here in California, and the kids aren't in here, and it's the quietest place in the building. The relevance of what you're saying is so right on, that the empowerment that the child feels when you give them a pocket knife and you extend that opportunity to them to show that they can be responsible with it. And parents, if you're listening, they probably are going to give themselves a little cut, and they might even lose that pocket knife. You know, it takes kids a little while to learn how to value those things. And so be patient with them. But he's totally right that it's not about learning how to whittle. It's about learning how to learn, and the pocket knife is one of those things that provides a perfect feedback cycle to the child of how their learning increases their ability and their whittling gets better, and they can make the thing that they imagine making out of that stick. Mm. And, yeah, they're going to make a lot of sharp, pointy sticks. It's one of the easiest things to make, but it's also one of the funnest things to have when you're a kid. And learning how to behave with a sharp, pointy stick is another one of those developmental milestones that we shouldn't deny from kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know. I would imagine you're a guy who's inventing things all the time because of what you do. But you have a new project, I understand, Gaver, Tinkering Labs. What are those?
So for years we've been struggling with the simple idea of how do we create an experience that parents who maybe aren't comfortable with this mode of working with kids could do at home, or that teachers likewise could do in a classroom. And Tinkering Labs is really trying to put, you know, to capture a genie and put it in a bottle to create authentic learning, tinkering, open-ended experiences in a box that we can deliver at quantity to classrooms and create kind of deeply engaging, open-ended learning experiences.
Mm.
And that's a new project. You know, Kathleen, I wanted to also offer,
sure,
whoever is your largest recurring donor in this, if you send me their address, I will send a personally autographed first edition copy of 50 Dangerous Things.
Ooh.
There's only 300 left in the world, and they're in my garage, and I will send one to whichever of your listeners takes the cake with the recurring donation.
All right, great. Thanks very much. We'll figure out how to do that, and we thank you. That's very nice. You're going to send a pocket knife, too? Just kidding. we'll figure out. Thank you.
I think these radio programs sometimes, they're so valuable,
mm-hmm,
as a way to share ideas like this. And I know there's listeners out there, and maybe a few of them have called, who are feeling challenged by these ideas. And isn't it great that we can hear challenging ideas?
Absolutely.
And kind of roll them around in our heads and see.
Right.
See it from a new perspective.
Right. You certainly have done that for me with the discussion of this. No doubt about
Yay.
That. No, yeah, it's that's good. Thank
I'm
you.
So glad.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephen, very much. Let's go to Rocky in Shikoro next. Hi, Rocky.
Hi. How are we doing today?
Well, good, Rocky. How are you?
We're real good, thanks.
Good.
I'm calling to thank the guy for saying what he's saying. I work for, retired now, but I worked for many years on track maintenance of the railroad.
Uh-huh.
And one of my comments is that he shouldn't teach somebody how to flatten a penny on the railroad tracks. It could be dangerous.
Oh.
But anyhow, my other comments is we get a lot of people that come work on a railroad that didn't have any clue as to which side of a broom was which to use or anything like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And one of the things I always tell somebody is if you don't know how to do something, ask. And the day I got hired on the last railroad I worked on, we had a guy start the same day that never worked on the railroad tracks. And we were out working, and he was told by a foreman how to pull a spike, and then we went on to another place, and the foreman told him that's not the right way to do it. And he's looking at me like, what's the problem? And I said, well, let me explain something to you. Pulling a railroad spike seems pretty simple, but there's 50 different ways of doing it to get the job done.
Uh-huh.
So don't be afraid to ask. Don't think you're stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think learning how to learn and when to seek advice is something that kids really don't get to practice very often, because we give them a teacher and we say, here's who you're learning from. And we continue that pretty much all the way through college. And sometime after college, they start to figure out, like, oh, everybody around me knows something better than I do, you know. And it takes people a long time to realize that you can learn something from everyone.
Right,
so
you can.
I think your friend Rocky is right.
Right.
And, yeah.
And licking a battery, really?
And licking a battery.
Really?
Yeah. So that's a wonderful... It's not so much shocking as it makes your tongue feel very strange, and it's very surprising to children. But it opens up an opportunity to talk about how your senses work, how batteries work, and what electricity is. And licking a 9-volt battery, even a fresh one, is a perfectly safe activity. You can't hurt yourself with it. It's just a surprise. It's the strongest flavor a child will experience, and it's, you know.
Oh, Gaver, what an hour this has been. And I can hear the kids in the background, too. They sound like they're having a great time. Thank you so much. We have to ask for people's support, and thanks for your donation. We really appreciate
you.
It.
Okay.
Our guest, Gaver Tully, the father of the modern tinkering movement, our guest this hour. We thank him so much for being with us. And we are just in the last couple minutes of this hour. We have not quite made our goal of 10 callers this hour, so please join our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. If you found the last hour fascinating and challenging, this is the hour to say thank you for this and to pledge your support. Give now any amount, WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is the number.
And just two more pledges in the next 2 more minutes.
We just need two,
so
everybody.
So any amount. WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and help support this program.
I mean, where else do you get a conversation? Should you let your child drive at the age of 12 or 9, for that matter? I found this really interesting.
It was fun. Lick a battery,
Play with a knife, I know.
Start a fire.
I know. Right, all of those things.
It's all the things we did as kids without our parents actually there.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. We did some things our parents didn't know. So if you found this fascinating, and help us reach our goal. 2 pledges is what we need. And again, it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
You know, every pledge drive we hear from people all over the country and even the world. We get pledges from Texas, Alaska, Japan, and Germany. So join all of those as well and make a pledge of support now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And it's very easy. It's just, you know, a couple minutes. You answer basic questions, your name and address and the amount of your gift and how you'd like to pay. And that's it. And here's how you do it, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. It's the last 30 seconds or so for KP and I to ask for your support. So please support this show.
Yeah, if you like Kathleen and tune in every day, call now, 888-202-2552. Join Gary and Jean from Slinger who say they donate every year, and the email they receive reminds us that it's time to send another contribution. So yeah, you'll get that reminder, too. Just make a pledge now.
Right, and do dangerous things, right? That's the message of this hour. Do things that are important, too, like pledge. It's 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. News is coming up. Thank you, KP, for all that you do.
Thank you.
You're the best, and thanks, everybody, for listening. You're the best, too. A lot of people say that. In case you haven't heard it, it's true. News is next. Thanks for your pledges.